Christopher Wilkie has studied guitar and composition as well as the lute. Someone who plays the lute is called a lutenist. And since the instrument was especially popular during William Shakespeare's time, he agreed to talk about the musical scene back then. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne. Nice to talk to you.
So music and musical instruments were hugely important in Shakespeare's works, not just as props or as background to get people, you know, on and off stage, but sometimes even as important parts of the action.
Absolutely, yes. Shakespeare doesn't appear to have been a composer himself, but he did write musical indications in his scores. And sometimes they're very, very general sorts of things. He might ask for a fanfare or something like that, or sometimes he'll even say, play a sonata for incidental music. But he also used it as part of the action, for sure.
Did he have any particular favorite musicians?
Well, we don't really know a whole lot about what happened with there. Not a lot of the music is preserved in notational form. It's mostly indications. Or sometimes he'll use a lot of folk songs, call for certain folk songs. One instance in which it's actually part of the drama is in Othello, when Desdemona sings the Willow Song, which was a contemporary song that people would have certainly known at the time.
And that's probably a big part of it, too, that a lot of this music would have been music that the audiences would have known, kind of like a lot of musicians from that era playing church music were using sometimes the popular music that people would know because it was drawing them in a little bit. Is that part of it?
Oh, sure, yes. As a matter of fact, his use of folk songs is actually a really interesting characteristic of how he uses music, in that for the most part, music was not sung by the major characters. It's usually sung by minor characters that either comment upon something that's happening in the action or about the major characters. And so you have people like fools and jesters might have a drinking song or something that's happening. When the major characters do sing, it's only when they're in disguise or they're descending into a state of madness. For example, one of the most kind of iconic scenes of this is when Ophelia actually has her sort of mad scene. She starts singing folk songs. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing because you have these aristocratic people who are, you know, they're kind of going off the edge. And so they're coming from the highbrow down to the lowbrow of folk songs. And we identify these folk songs, know what they are. Another instance is when Edgar and King Lear, he's feigning madness. He does the same thing, starts singing folk songs.
That's a really interesting point, though, about the difference between sort of the nobility or the higher classes, upper classes, and then the lower classes. People in Shakespeare's time, just in general, kind of had a lot of hands-on music-making experience, but not necessarily publicly. You know, there were the musicians, the lower guys. What kinds of instruments were most popular? What might you have found people playing?
That's another interesting thing about the way that Shakespeare uses music. When he calls for instrumental music, he has things like trumpets and drums might be used for regal music or fanfare to introduce somebody. He calls for shawms or oboes, kind of a predecessor of the oboe. When he uses those prefigure a state of something that horrible is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So doom or death, it comes from the shawms. However, the stringed instruments, the viola da gamba and the lute, which, of course, is my instrument. He used those for healing and positive sorts of vibes. And he even has a quote from Much Ado About Nothing that says, "Is it not strange that sheep's guts should hail souls out of men's bodies?" Mm-hmm. And so it was used definitely as a very sort of bucolic or contemplative states.
And that sheep's guts reference.
Yes, the sheep's guts was talking about the strings were mm-hmm. made of sheep intestines at the time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, processed and sterilized.
One hopes.
One hopes, yes. We have them now, and that's how they are.
So, you are a lutenist. Do you have any favorite Shakespeare-connected works that you like to play?
Well, there are quite a few tunes from the time period. Composers like Thomas Morley, Robert Johnson, John Wilson set Shakespearean lyrics to music. We're not sure if that was actually the music that was used in the plays. And then, of course, many later composers, Franz Schubert was setting Shakespearean lyrics and whatnot as well. Yeah, there are a number of dances as well, particularly ones by John Dowland. There are a few, Tarleton's Resurrection and Kemp's Jig, which seem to have been named after Shakespearean actors, who Dowland probably knew. Dowland was actually an exact contemporary of Shakespeare. They may or may not have known each other. We don't know, but certainly they were in the same sort of cultural milieu.
Now, Dowland, a lot of Dowland's music tends to be a little sad, I guess, is that
mm-hmm.
the best word
yes,
for
yes.
it? Would that have been used in any particular plays or in any particular parts of plays that you recall?
It's certainly possible. I mean, again, Shakespeare is very general generally you might call for somber music or doleful music or something like that. Some people actually speculate that in Twelfth Night, there's a character called Duke Orsino. Some people think that he might actually be a caricature of Dowland. Oh. It talks about he's a very sort of melancholy figure and doleful and whatnot. And they think perhaps that it refers to Dowland, who was certainly very popular and well known at the time.
Is there any lute playing by Orsino in that?
There is not.
No. Oh, okay. Now, people may not be familiar with what the lute looks like, but the lute really is, whether you realize it or not, kind of associated with the Shakespearean, you know, you sort of are used to seeing that. Why don't you describe what a lute looks like?
Well, a lute was around for quite a number of centuries. In Shakespeare's time period, it's pretty much a half pair shaped like a guitar, or played like a guitar. So you have a half pair sort of teardrop shape for the body, and then there's a neck on it that looks just like a guitar neck. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, the sort of peg box, the place where you tune the strings, instead of going out straight as you have on a contemporary guitar, it's bent back directly towards the player. And you see this a lot of times in Christmas cards, and you'll see angels playing it and whatnot.
Angels and Shakespearean characters.
That's right. Yes.
What, other than the shams and the gambas and lutes, what are some of the other instruments that one might encounter in Shakespeare?
Yeah, those are pretty much the only ones I think that he calls for. Gambas were especially popular. There is a real dichotomy between productions that were done for the public and productions done for the court. Not many of Shakespeare's plays were put on for the court, but in the public productions, it was very, very sort of bare bones. They might have one person who sang and played the lute, whereas in the courtly productions, they were much more lavish, and they had whole consorts of instruments, so lots of viola da gambas and lots of instruments and whatnot. But for the most part, in the Renaissance, they would have consorts of the same instrument in different sizes, like a string quartet today. But as far as a whole lot of variety of instruments, the ones that I mentioned previously are about the ones that we have.
Now, a lot of times if you go to a stage production nowadays, you'll see that the actor, and this is in Hollywood as well, you'll see the actor sort of pantomiming, playing the instrument, and there's actually somebody, a real trained professional, playing the instrument. Would it have been the actor himself or herself in Shakespeare, probably himself, playing the instrument?
Well, I'm not really an expert on that aspect of things. We know there were some people. There was a Jack Wilson, and I mentioned before, a composer named John Wilson, maybe the same person. Jack Wilson, who was definitely a boy in the play, who we know played the lute and sang. I don't know as far as the pantomiming how extensive that might have been specifically in Shakespearean drama, but probably it happened as well.
And probably a little bit better. I think more people probably played instruments in those
days.
Yes,
of course. If you wanted to listen to music at the time, you had no choice but to listen to someone play it or to play it yourself. You couldn't turn on the radios.
Well, Christopher Wilkie, thank you so much for making time to talk a little bit about the music of Shakespeare's time.
My pleasure, Suzanne. Thank you.
For WVXU, I'm Suzanne Bona.
Willow, willow, willow. Oh.